Hi, you're listening to Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com, and today we're extremely lucky to have a copywriter extraordinaire named Dan Locke. He's in Vancouver, Canada. Dan is currently so busy that he's not even accepting new clients. So you can appreciate the time that Dan is taking with us to describe his business and exactly how he works and pass on a lot of information as far as being a copywriter and what you can do to actually go ahead and write your own copy, the formulas he uses, the secrets he's got. And let's just dive right in. I'd like to just say thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us, Dan.
Glad to be here, Terry.
Thank you again. Dan, I've got a bunch of questions for you. But before we kind of dig in, let's talk about you first. How did you get started and how did the early days go?
Sure, okay. Terry, I moved from Hong Kong to North America years ago with no money, no connections, and not a word of the English language on my lips. As you can tell from my thick accent, English is not my first language. I had to learn it from scratch. Started my first business when I was 16 years old with my friend, mowing lawns for people in my neighborhood. And the business went down in 6 months because of lack of customers.
Right.
And on and off, I would start a business, and it would fail very quickly. And, I mean, I was in the vending machine business. I was in multi-level marketing. I was in the retail business. In fact, I was importing toys from Asia. And at one point, because I lost so much money in my business ventures, I had to borrow money from my friends and family just to survive.
Ouch.
That was pretty bad. And I even went out there and get a job. And I was making minimum wages stocking cans on the shelves in a supermarket. Because I had no degree of formal education, that's the only job I could get at that time.
Right.
So now at that time, just like most people, you know, I was reading all those self-help books, right, Terry? I mean, I think you're familiar with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I was listening to the tapes, going to seminars. I was a junkie.
Yeah.
I had a desire to succeed. I set goals. You know, I think positively. I affirm to myself daily, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, all that stuff. And guess what, Terry? I was still freaking broke. I mean, I think some of our listeners can relate to that.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, Terry, forgive me for being very blunt during this interview. I mean, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feeling, but I probably will. So I hope our listeners won't be offended by that. Because when it comes to business and marketing advice, I don't pull any punches. I mean, I don't take any prisoners. I don't sugarcoat stuff. I don't bullshit people. I tell it like it is. And that's exactly why I'm not everybody's cup of tea. You know, my clients either love me or hate me.
That's beautiful.
You know, because sometimes I'm just too tough on my clients, and I slap them around, and, you know. Seriously, sometimes they come up to me and ask me, well, Dan, what do you think of this idea? And if I don't like it, and I think it's not going to work, I'll just tell them point blank, it sucks. It's not gonna work. And you know, and a lot of them don't like to hear that, especially when they're paying me a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
But they put up with me. But they put up with me because I make them money.
Exactly.
I mean, why else would a person pay a marketing guy a lot of money to yell at them and slap them around? I mean, seriously, why else would anyone put up with a maniac like me? I mean, the only reason is I make them a lot of dough. That's the only reason.
Yeah, but I mean,
think
it's
about
worth it.
It's absolutely worth it.
It's worth going home with a black eye.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. But anyway, sorry about that. So I got off track there.
No,
so I was starting all these businesses, and these adventures were, I mean, they were going out of business faster than I could start them. I mean, seriously. So it was pretty bad. So, and one day, it just dawned on me, and I asked myself this question. I said to myself, why some businesses are more successful than others? Why some people just seem to have their might of touch? And it's just like, I mean, Terry, I mean, I bet you know somebody. It's like they can just start any business and make it profitable.
Yeah.
I mean, and I look at myself. I said, well, I'm not stupid. I mean, I work hard. I had a desire to succeed. What was I doing wrong? What's the problem? What's the key? What's missing?
Yeah.
And I kept asking myself. And boom, I got it. I finally got it. The ultimate secret to business success. And here's the secret. I have never seen a company in trouble from having too much revenue.
Right.
Just like a person, you can never have too much money, you can never have too much revenue in a business. Now, the next question, Terry, you want to ask me is, well, Dan, then how do you generate revenue?
Right on the tip of my tongue.
Yes. Well, by creating and keeping a customer. By creating and keeping a customer. Well, how do you create and keep a customer? Through effective marketing. No marketing, no customers. No customers, no sales, no sales, no business. Period. End of story. It's that simple. Show me a profitable company and I'll show you a good marketing company. Does that make sense to you,
yeah,
Terry?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I discovered that's the ultimate secret to business success. And that's the key, that's the missing link. Then, you know, then I determined to get good at this marketing stuff. So I read, you know, John Cables and Claude Hopkins, all the marketing classics, all the classic books.
Uh-huh.
And started my little one-man advertising agency. You know, started writing ads for entrepreneurs. And now at that time, because I was just starting out, Terry, so I didn't have any degree or diploma in marketing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so at that time I didn't have any credibility, and nobody trusted me. I mean, who is this guy? How can this guy help me make money, right? I mean, I'm just a young guy at that time.
How long ago was this?
That was about six years ago.
So we're what, about 1998?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, and then that's what happened. So what I did is very simple. So it's like I make them an offer they cannot refuse. So
what's
I simply
that?
Say to them, oh, Mr. or Mrs. Prospect, you know, I say to them, well, I realize you might not believe in my marketing ability, and I can appreciate that. Why don't we do it this way? Let me write an ad for you, or direct mail piece. If they don't make you money, don't pay me a dime. Only pay me if they work for you. How does that sound to you? Well, guess what they say?
Yeah.
Sure, where can we start?
Absolutely. You,
so,
really put your butt on the line.
Absolutely. So under that kind of pressure, I mean, I had to figure out a way to create the most type of advertising possible.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because if my stuff doesn't work, I don't eat.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't mess around with theories. I mean, I don't have that kind of luxury. I wish I had. I mean, the stuff I create, they have to make money, and preferably make money very quickly.
Yep.
Okay. And to this stage, you know, I have sold about $20 million worth of products and services in over 39 different industries. And now I'm teaching others how to market their products and services. So that's basically my story, and that's how I got started in business.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So you have now, like you said, you're teaching people how to go about marketing their businesses.
Correct.
And I know you have a website called Quick Turn Marketing. What exactly is that about?
Oh, that's funny you asked, Terry. It's actually a client of mine who inspired me to come up with that name.
Oh, yeah?
Let me tell you a story, okay?
Yeah.
Now, one time I was on the phone with a client, and he owns a couple of restaurants in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And his business was in trouble, big trouble. I cannot reveal his name here, but so we were chatting, and I was asking him some questions and stuff. So we were on the phone for at least, I think, 3 hours. And at the end of the consultation, you know, I gave him some ideas on how to develop a brand, how to really promote his business, how to create some excitement in his restaurants, how to create a unique selling proposition, all that stuff, all that marketing stuff. So he wrote down a bunch of notes and ideas. Anyway, didn't hear from him for 2 or 3 months. No fax, no phone call, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Then one day, he called me out of the blue. And I pick up the phone, and all I heard was, Dan, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, what happened? What is it? Who are you? Right? And he said, oh, Dan, I did exactly what you said, and I quickly turned my business around, and now my sales is up 30%. Thanks for your advice. And he kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, right?
Beautiful.
And I said, send me a check.
Exactly, yeah.
But that's just stuck in my mind. So I said, that's interesting. Quickly turn his business around. I said, that's a good term. You know what? Aha, why don't I call my methodology quick turn marketing? So that's how the idea was born. But, you know, Terry, frankly, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun of marketing. I mean, I don't claim to invent all these marketing strategies or ideas. No, you know what? In fact, I'll be the first one to tell you. I never have any original ideas, and probably will never will. And I mean, in fact, here's the first lesson for our listener, and it's an important one. When you go to the bank, Terry, when you go to the bank and deposit some money, would the teller say to you, "Well, I'm sorry, Terry, we can't allow you to deposit the check because this is not your original idea"? I mean, you didn't bang your head against the wall to come up with this idea. I mean, the banks don't give a damn.
That's true.
They don't care if you spend 10 years coming up with the idea, or they don't care if you spend a day. Money is just money. And, you know, then why we invent the wheel? Why not take the role of less resistance? Forget about being original. Forget about being creative. Because creativity sucks. Take the money and go home.
That is a really, really big statement coming from somebody who is a very professional marketer.
I mean, yeah, Terry, I mean, I'm not an innovator. I'm a synthesizer. You know, I handpick the best marketing techniques that I have used and test in the battlefield, in the trenches, simplify them, refine them again and again, and teach it in such a way that it's easy to understand and, most importantly, easy to apply. I mean, I want people to be able to learn my stuff today, and then they can apply tomorrow when they open the door and just make some quick cash. And that's my whole intention. And so that's what quick-time marketing is all about, producing the maximum results with the least amount of effort in the least amount of time.
So then quick turn marketing, is it something that I can go to your website and say, hey, I like this this letter, this sales letter that he's written. I just copy that and change a few words and I can use that?
You can copy the idea. Now, there's a huge difference between stealing and copying and modeling, right, Terry? I would say if you can take any, you can look at any sales letters, which I can give you some ideas. You can look at any sales letters that is proven. And you can take the con. You don't want to just steal the words and phrases, right? That's illegal.
Yeah, okay.
But that's copyright protected material.
Exactly.
But you can never copyright an idea. Okay, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Let's say there's a proven headline. There's an ad, I think, written by what's the guy? John Cable. I think it's John Cable.
Uh-huh.
It's called "Do You Make These Mistakes in English?" Is an ad for a home study course.
Uh-huh.
And it's been running for 30 years. I believe it's still running right now. Now, if you just take it, "Do you make these mistakes in English?" and use it as your ad, now that's legal. But what if you change it to "Do you make these mistakes in internet marketing?"
Yeah.
"Do you make these mistakes in copywriting? Do you make these mistakes in your consulting business?" You see what I mean?
So you've still got the same meaning, but you've just changed some of the words so that
exactly.
You use it for your own business.
And why we invent the wheel? Just take what works and run with it.
Now, how would you go about finding something that you would be pretty sure is something that works?
First of all, what you want to do is you want to build up what I call a sweat file.
Uh-huh.
Your own sweat file. I mean, you should see my sweat file. I mean, it's huge. I have thousands and thousands and thousands of sales letters.
Now, how did you pick those ones out of all the sales letters? How do you choose?
Good question. For example, let's say first of all, you want to do is you want to buy stuff from mail.
Okay.
You want to buy stuff from, you know, Nightingale Conan, and you want to get on all the marketers' mailing list.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I can tell you, Terry, I'm on all the marketers. I'm on the mailing list. I'm on the best customer list because I buy everybody's stuff.
Beautiful.
I buy everybody's stuff. And how do you know it's a winner? Very simple. If they keep mailing the piece to you, the same piece, you know it's a winner more than 3, 4, 5 times. Why?
Really?
Because if it doesn't make money, they won't keep mailing it.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so if you can see, even magazine ads, if you see the same ad running, you know, first issue, second issue, you know, for half a year, you know it's proven.
Okay.
Otherwise, they'll pull it because it costs too much.
Right.
It costs too much. The cost is too great. So build up your sweat file, get on the mailing list, buy some stuff from everybody. Just buy some stuff. Get on their mailing list. I mean, I people call it, when you open your mailbox, people call it junk mail.
Yeah.
I call it the gold mine.
That's your research.
That's my research. I get 10, 20 marketing pieces a day, junk mail, a day.
So you've got a library in your mailbox every day.
Huge. Huge. I mean, I love those stuff. I love those stuff.
So you've done a lot of research then as far as not only just in direct mail and that type of thing, but in a lot of different industries.
Exactly.
What do you see then would be one of the common or some of the common marketing mistakes and advertising mistakes that consistently keep coming in into your mailbox?
You know, Terry, I can do a three-day boot camp on this subject, I think, because there are so many mistakes they make.
That's beautiful, then. Maybe we could limit it to, five or ten.
Okay, let me give you maybe four or five big ones.
Okay.
Mistakes, okay. The biggest one, mistake number one. Now, this is not so much a marketing mistake. It's more like a business mistake, but it's a deadly one. And that is, most entrepreneurs, they don't have an exit strategy. They got into the business without knowing how they're going to get out. I mean, or they got into the business for the wrong reason in the first place. I mean, let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they just lose their jobs, or their boss just fired them, and they've been working for the companies for the last 10 years, and they think they know as much about the business than the boss of the company.
Yep.
Or maybe their parents passed away and they kind of just take over the family business. Or they couldn't find a job like me and they have to start their own businesses.
Yeah.
So they got into the business without knowing what business is all about. I mean, unless you're planning to work until the day you drop dead, I mean, you must have an exit strategy. You must know why you got into the business in the first place. I mean, what I'm talking about is what is the purpose to start the business in the first place? What do you hope to get out of your business, and how do you want your business to serve you? Now, that's critical. How do you want your business to serve you?
Uh-huh.
I mean, because most people I talk to, I ask them, why did you start your own business? And they'll say stuff like, well, to make some money, to be my own boss. I mean, that's just not good enough. You got to be more specific.
So what would be a better answer if you know, somebody or you were to ask somebody?
I would ask them, when you start your business, what are you going to do? Are you going to sell the business for a huge lump sum and retire? Are you going to keep the business and continue to work hands-on to make a huge income? Or maybe are you going to keep the business and cash out your time, maybe delegating the day-to-day and make a huge passive income? Or maybe, you know, maybe you're going to franchise your business and just, you know, collect franchise fees like McDonald's, Burger King, and Subway, that kind of stuff. Or maybe you have bigger goals. You're going to take the company to public. Who knows? But you got to know all these things.
So you need to have kind of a long-term goal, even when you're starting your business, setting it up right from the beginning.
It's how to get out. When are you going to get out? How are you going to get out?
Okay.
You know what, Terry? Let me give you some examples in my own business activity, so I'll make it clear. Let's say my own consulting and information marketing company, mm-hmm. Quick Turn Marketing. Okay, I sell books and tapes, educational materials, consult with people, you know, regular ad copy for my clients, that kind of stuff. Now, the purpose of that business is just to generate a huge income,
okay.
Period. Okay, I'm not going to sell the business. It's a cash cow for me, basically. And I love what I do.
Uh-huh.
Now, and also, you know, information marketing is one of the best business on the planet. Low cost, high margin, easy to sell, easy to manage, very good business. Not going to sell it. I'm not going to sell it. Now, besides QuickTurn Marketing, I also have equity in five other privately held companies.
Okay.
I serve on the board of directors for most of these companies as a marketing advisor. Now, one of these companies, our whole goal is to sell it to some big, dumb corporation.
Okay. So
that's
our exit strategy.
That's it. We don't want to keep it. So what we want to do is we want to package the business in such a way that is attractive to big corporations so they acquire a company. Make sense?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. You're going to run the business towards the goal that you're going to sell it. So that's going to affect your day-to-day procedures and what you're doing in the business.
Exactly. We just want to sell the damn thing. So that way, sales is more important than profit.
Right.
Because you want your sales figures to be very impressive if you're going to sell the company.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the big companies, what they think is they think after they buy your business, they can do a better job than you do managing the business.
Yep.
They think they can increase the profits. I mean, they always think them is stupid. To me, it's stupid. Think whatever you want, just give me the money, right?
Yep.
So we want to do everything we can to bump up the sales. So that's the focus, to bump up the sales. Now, I'm also a major shareholder of another company that invests in the U.S. tax liens and tax deeds and tax certificates, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Real estate stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not particularly passionate about the business. But that's okay, because I'm not the one that's running the son of a gun, right? My business partners are running them.
Yeah.
That's where I park my money. It gives me a nice return on my investment, 15% to 17% a year. It's better than putting them in the bank. Now, different business, different objective. Now, different objective requires different strategies and different approach to certain things, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So the bottom line is you cannot get what you want if you don't know what you want, and just owning a business for the sake of owning one is just dumb. It's just dumb. I apologize if that hurts our listeners' feelings, but that's just the reality.
But that's quite okay. Like you said at the first, you either like you or hate you.
Yeah, they either like me or they hate me.
So
I mean, they could be stop listening right now. Who is this guy, right? Just yelling at me.
Yeah, but they better not leave because they're going to learn a lot.
So that's mistake number one. That's mistake number one.
Can you just tell me what's your exit strategy then for this other business that you're not going to sell it? It's not a business that you're going to sell. You've parked your money there. What's the exit strategy for that one?
No, that one is just I treat it like, just like a bank to me. This is where I park my money. I'm not going to sell it. My partner is wanting it. I just park my money there and get a nice return.
Okay,
that's
so there's no exit strategy on that
one. There's no exit for the company.
Okay.
But that's it. But see, that company has, but I have a very clear objective of what I want to do with that company.
Right.
And that's the difference. That's the difference. That's just mistake number one.
Okay.
Want to go on mistake number two?
That would be great.
Okay. Mistake number two would be they focus on the wrong thing, and here's what I mean. Most entrepreneurs, they don't understand the importance of marketing. I mean, I don't care what business you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Most businesses operate like a three-legged stool. You need all three legs, otherwise the stool falls down.
Yep.